This morning we kick off our series where we're focusing on the family. And we want to raise, and God has called us to raise godly families. This message is for the family, it's a message for the single. This morning I want to look at some principles and some precepts that will help you maybe change the course of some things if you're not reaping the harvest that you wish you were reaping right now. I hope to hopefully set some of you up for future success and future families that you're going to have. But God has burdened my heart for families. I'm sick and tired of seeing families and marriages be torn apart. I'm sick and tired of seeing the divorce rate stay the same, if not go up. I'm sick and tired of getting calls from couples that are in crisis mode because they've let things go so far and get so out of hand that it's almost, the only reason I think they're calling me is just to say that they called a pastor. I get calls, I do a lot of counseling, and I believe, I don't mind it, please understand that. But we have got to understand that God has such an incredible plan in store and in line for our families. But yet, Satan also has a plan for your family, and it's the opposite of God's. He wants to tear you down. He wants to separate you. He wants to divide and conquer, and that's what we see happening time and time and time again. We've got to stop that. We've got to change that. And this whole month of January, we're focusing on the family. Because I believe 2013 can be a year of change for your family. I believe that this year can be the year that you begin to really focus on some things that you've been doing right and things that you've been doing wrong and make the adjustments that need to be made. Now, I'm by far not a farmer, a gardener, or anything like that. I have a couple plants in the house that somehow they have survived. I don't know what kind of plants they are, but they should experiment on them, and that's the plants that they should put out, because if they can survive me, they can survive anything. But I don't have green thumbs. However, I've been raised in the South. I love riding down country roads and seeing just farm country. I love seeing those rows of peanuts. I love seeing rows of the cotton. I love seeing all the stuff those guys are planting. And I've been in the South all of my life, and I've picked up on a few things. My granny and granddaddy on my mom's side, they had a garden that was probably as big as the sanctuary, at least right here. I mean, they planted all kind of groceries out there. It was wonderful to see, and it was wonderful to eat, glory to God, the fresh vegetables that come out of that garden. I'm not good at it, but I've picked up on a few things, and I've done some homework so that I believe we can look at some principles that are in the Bible and apply them to our life. Now, I remember, how many remember doing this when you were a kid? And you were learning, I don't know if you were learning about sun, water, plants, or photosynthesis or whatever, but you got your little pea seed and you took your styrofoam cup or your milk carton after lunch and you emptied it out and you stuck some dirt in it and you stuck that little seed down there and you watered it, and you and your buddies, you lined the windowsill with your little pea plants. You remember that? Am I the only one? Come on now, I know you did it too, come on. And you waited and you watched until finally it would break the ground and you would see that little plant start to curl up. But I never had the patience to wait for that thing. It seemed like everybody else's plant grew faster than mine. And I'd go in there digging around for mine trying to find out what the deal was. And if I'd have just been a little more patient, it was right there fixing to break through the surface. But I done uprooted that sucker and tore it up and killed it. We did that. I decided that I don't have green thumbs, and as long as other people have green thumbs and can grow them, praise God, I'll eat from your abundance. Go to the grocery store and eat from somebody's abundance. But there's a powerful principle when you look at the principle of sowing and reaping through the Word of God and how it applies to our family, how it applies to our life. I want us to look at things a little bit differently, and I want you to let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart this morning on some things that maybe you've been sowing that you shouldn't, maybe some things that you're not sowing that maybe you should, in order for God to use and grow your family in the way that He wants for it to. Now, it would be really nice. How many's rode by, you've seen somebody's yard, and you're like, it's immaculate, it's awesome, but you know they've got people. they've got the money, so they got people. They've got somebody that does the water and somebody that does the chemicals and somebody that knows when to plant it, somebody knows when to prune it and how to prune it and all that kind of stuff. That would be nice. And you just sit back and enjoy the fruit of their labor in your yard. People buy, oh, don't your yard look so good? And you're like, thank you, but it's my people's, you know. That would be nice. Wouldn't it be nice if we could do that with our family? We just have people. So we had the best child psychologists and the best doctors and the best people to pour in our kids, and we just sit back and we pay them to raise our kids, and we just see our little kids grow up to be so perfect. This one's going to be a doctor, and this one's going to be a lawyer. This one's going to be a professional athlete, and they all going to, you know, retire and take care of their mom and daddy in old age and make sure that I got everything I need. Wouldn't that be nice? How many of us that don't work that way? How many of us that raising a family is work? I mean, it's head banging heart. It's exhausting. It's heartbreaking. It's sweat, tears. I mean, it's work. It's work. It's laborsome. It would be wonderful if it could do that. It'd be wonderful if money was the answer to it. But look at reality TV. Look at celebrities. People and families where money's not an issue, but yet their family is so jacked up it's not even funny. You read about them in the paper all the time, on the news and what's happening. It would be so wonderful, in a sense, we think if we could give our kids everything they asked for. But yet for some kids, that's the problem. They did get everything they asked for. There's got to be a balance there. Raising a healthy family, building a healthy marriage, maintaining healthy family, man, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes work, it takes blood, sweat, tears. Come on, how many shed some tears over your family? You know what I'm talking about? There's a lot that goes into that. And I want to emphasize on the things that it's going to take to build more, stronger, and healthier families. It's got to be a value. It's got to be a core value deep down inside of every one of us as a believer and as a part of the body of Christ, that we do everything in our power to raise a godly family. You know, some of you have a hard time, I'm sure, believing that a marriage can be strong. Some of you have a hard time believing that your family can be everything that you see in your mind because you've never experienced it. You're convinced there's no way it could happen to you. You've given up, as a matter of fact, believing the dream or the fantasy of having this wonderful family because maybe you had parents that fought. Maybe you were raised in a poor family. Maybe you grew up with angry and abusive parents. Maybe you've been sexually abused. You've been verbally or physically abused. Maybe you never had a father in the home. Maybe there were men in the home, but there was never a father. There were plenty of husbands. There might have been a husband, but there was not a father figure in the home. There's a lot of those situations. I'm sure if we had time to go around the room, we could hear different situations, both good and bad, of what different people right here in this room have experienced. Maybe you've never been a part of a strong, healthy family, and so you're concerned, if I've never been in it, how am I going to know how to do it? How can I have a healthy marriage if I've never seen one? My parents were jacked up, man. How can I be anything but a horrible parent because my mom was always on drugs or my dad was an alcoholic, and that's all I've been exposed to and that's all I've been around? Some of you say, I would do anything not to be like my mom or my dad. You're thinking, is there any hope for us? Listen, I want you to know that in a time when family is at its weakest, when family is under attack, and it seems like an unprecedented attack, unlike anything I've ever seen or experienced in my lifetime, that one can have a strong and healthy one. That yes, you absolutely can have a strong, a healthy, and a godly family. You can be the one that starts today breaking a cycle that may be destroying parts of your family or all of your family. Or you could be the one today that says, I'm going to make sure that when I raise my family, I don't pass on some of these things that my parents passed on to me. Today can be that day. You can be the one to break that cycle. Do you believe that this morning, church? Come on, you've got to believe it. You've got to speak life into your family. I want to unpack this biblical principle that we're about to get into and show you that you can set your family on the right path. You can get some things turned around, and here's what I need you to do. I need you to make a commitment for the next few Sundays through the month of January to be here. When you leave here today, I want you to make a commitment to call people and say, you need to be back next week. You need to be here in 3 weeks. We've got brother and sister Randall Clay who's going to be here. There's a flyer up on the bulletin board. We're going to do a whole Friday night, Saturday morning, and then both services Sunday. We're going to be, they for 25 or 30 years, they've been going around and doing marriage retreats and conferences and speaking in the lives of families to help them get things turned around. I'm telling you, I'm giving this everything that I've got, and I'm doing all that I know to do to help set you on the right course this year with your family. So you got to commit that you'll be here. That you'll take it in and you'll invite people. But listen, if you're currently struggling in your family, I want you to listen to what Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9 tell us. When Paul wrote this, he says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." You need to underline that in your Bible. A man reaps what he sows. "The one who sows to please his sinful nature," well, guess what? From that nature, he will reap destruction. "The one who sows to please the Spirit," then from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And verse 9 says, "So let us not become weary in doing good." Come on, somebody needs to hear that right now. Let us not, because you're tired, you're weary, you're beat down, you're struggling. "Let's not become weary, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." How many is ready to see a harvest in your family? Amen. All five of you. Come on. Come on. I'm going to dive through this quickly because I know we're running a little behind. We're going to be studying on the principle of sowing and reaping in our families. I'm going to talk about some specific things that you can plant in your family so that you can get the harvest that you expect. I want to look at just some general principles of farming. Again, I'm not a farmer, but there's some basic principles that I think you and I can agree on that we're going to look at here that you can apply to your family. And I think hopefully the Lord's helping me, and through some other pastors that I've talked with and gotten some information from, will help make this as simple and self-explanatory that you'll begin to instantly apply this in your life. Now, like I said, my granny and granddaddy, they had a big old garden, man. It was huge. And it was awesome, but it was amazing to me because they always knew where everything was. They can walk out and they can look at that plant and they can say, "Well, that's my collards, that's my mustards, that's peas, that's green beans, that's it." And they go down. To me, it all looks the same. I don't know what it is, but he can walk out. He knows exactly where everything is. He knows exactly what he planted and where he planted it because he planned it out. He knew when he had to plant it, how to plant it, and he had it all lined out, and he knew exactly what was going on. He had a plan for it, and he also knew when to harvest it. How many knows if you try and harvest it too soon, it ain't ripe, it ain't good, it don't work. So he knew when to harvest it. I mean, so could you imagine going out there and saying, "Granddaddy, what you planting this season, this year?" "Oh, I don't know. I just went to the store and I just said, you know what, just give me a bag full of whatever you want, however much of each kind you want, just pour it in there and we'll just see. Well, I'll figure it out when it comes up." Now, does that make any sense at all? Who would do that? Wouldn't nobody do that? Somebody said, "That's a foolish farmer right now." I mean, to plant all this stuff out looking for a surprise harvest. We'll just see what comes up. We'll just see what happens. That's a foolish farmer. He would be broke. Farmers that do this stuff for money would go broke trying to do that. They wouldn't survive one season. That's ridiculous. Yet, you know what? That's what we do in our families all the time. We just wait to see what comes up. We don't really get intentional about what we're planning, when we're planning, how we're planning, and we just wait to see what comes up and just hope that what I see in my mind is what's going to come out of my kids or what's going to happen to come into my families. See, principle number one you need to understand is that planning is not accidental. It's intentional. It's something that you've got to plan out. You've got to be intentional. If you don't plan, And if you don't have a plan for your family, then you're going to get whatever. And you know what? You can't be mad about it. If you just let it go and let whatever come up, you can't be mad. You can't blame your mama, your daddy. You can't blame your neighbor. You've got to have a plan. A healthy marriage, a strong family does not happen by accident. You've got to have a strategic plan. You've got to intentionally plan good things if you want to have a good harvest. It's got to be that way. Maybe some of you are thinking right now, you know, I've never really thought about that. And I'm already years into my marriage. How could I do something now? What am I going to do? Listen, it's never too late to start planning now. And that's what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. We're going to talk about what to plant, how to plant it. It's never too late to have a plan. Secondly, you need to understand this principle here, that what you plant is what grows. That's common sense, isn't it? Well, that's the most profound statement right there. You know what? Some of these other principles are going to be very profound like that. But you got to think about it. What you plant is what's going to grow. I know Brother Ronnie and Sister Dolly, they got them a little garden out back, and it's always real pretty and clean. They got all kinds of things going back there, different greens and mustards or turnips and tomatoes and things like that. If he plants collards, and expects corn, he's going to be disappointed, isn't he? If he plants collards, what's he going to get? Ding, ding, ding. What a trick question. If he plants tomatoes, he's going to get? Come on. Whatever you plant grows. So whatever you plant in your family, that's what you're going to get. So listen, if you plant generosity, generous giving grows. If you plant bitterness, resentment, bitterness grows. If you plant faithfulness, guess what? Faithfulness grows. If you plant unfaithfulness, that's going to grow too. Whatever you plant grows. If you plant anger, anger grows. If you plant love for missions, a love for missions is going to grow. Your kids might even become a missionary. They may be going off and planting churches somewhere. Who knows? But whatever you plant, the seeds that you plant in your children and your family now will determine what grows later. This is really not hard, but it's something that's profound that we've really got to think about. What you plant now is what's going to grow later. Of course, that leads us to this next thing. This third principle is really kind of a tough one. It's a painful one. And it's simply this, that everything you plant grows. I want you to think about that. Everything you plant is going to grow. There's some things right now that you're probably seeing happening in your family you're not real happy with. There's attitudes there that you don't like. There's things that take place, but you know what? Some of that's been planted, and it's growing. We've allowed it to be planted. We didn't do the proper weeding. We didn't do the proper maintenance, and it's growing. There's some things, there's some ugly things either in our kid, in our spouse, whatever, and it's growing. Everything we plant grows. The things you plant accidentally, you didn't mean for it to be in there, but you know what? You planted it. And it's growing. Listen, there's things in my family. I'm not the perfect parent. I'm not here to say, listen, I'm going to tell you how to have the perfect family. I just hang around my kids for a little while. You'll understand. But we are worlds ahead of where we could have been when we started turning some things around. But you know what? There's still some things that are in my kids that I didn't mean for it to be there, but it's there. There's some things that are in me that my parents didn't mean to be in me, but it's there. So whatever you plant, either intentionally or accidentally, whatever you plant grows. And here's the thing. The opposite of that, number four, is what you don't plant won't grow. You're like, boy, this is the most profound. Pastor, I could have preached this. But we're not applying it to our families. You could have preached this. Anybody could have preached this. But we've got to understand, we've got to apply this to our families. So what you don't plant won't grow. So you can't expect something to grow that you don't plant. That's what I'm saying. That comes back to that surprise harvest. If you don't plant generosity in your kids, it won't grow. If you don't plant good attitudes in your kid, it won't grow. If you don't plant hard work and discipline in your kids and your family, it's not going to grow. It's something they're going to have to fight with down the road if they want more of that in their life. It's going to be up to them to try and do that. I mean, imagine the farm at harvest time. He's going through the fields and come with his combine from sun up to sundown. He's bringing the crop in. It's harvest time. And he comes in, he slams the door, and he's all mad. And well, what's wrong with you? What you so mad about? I spent all day in that field. I didn't get one sunflower. Not one. I looked. There were zero sunflowers in that stupid field. Well, how many sunflower plants did you plant? Well, I didn't plant sunflower. I planted corn. But I wanted sunflowers. How foolish is that? But that's what we do in our families. We're looking for perfect kids. We're looking for great attitudes. We're looking for a spouse that loves us. We're looking for all these things. And if we're failing to plant it, it's not going to come to harvest. It always fascinates me. I was a youth pastor for a number of years before I come over here into this. And this was something that I battled with certain parents. They get mad because they're kids, and of course, by the time they get to me, I'm trying to deal with teenagers, and they're bringing teenagers to me at 14, 15, 16 years old, and they're wanting me to help fix the problems of things that they didn't do earlier on. They're wanting me to change their kids' attitudes. They're wanting me to make sure that their kids love church, come to church, want to be a part of church. They come and get mad. My kid don't never want to come to church. You must not be doing something right. But the fact is, if you look at the parents' record of coming to church, they're as sporadic as anybody else. If you don't come to church regularly, if you aren't faithful and you don't make church a priority in your life, it's not going to be in your kids' life. You can send them off with somebody all day long. You can put them on a church bus and send them to Sunday school all you want. But if mama and daddy ain't getting up and coming to church and making it a priority, them kids ain't going to make it a priority. Parents get mad. So many times I look at them and go, maybe if you would come with them, they would come a little more. Maybe if it was something you got excited about, they would be excited about it. Maybe if you showed them the change that it can make in your life and is making in your life, that it can do something positive for them. Help me out here. We've always heard that. Do as I say, not as I do. You go to church. You don't cuss. You da-da-da-da. But whatever we do, that's what we're planting, and that's what's going to grow. You're like the farmer. You're mad because you didn't get sunflowers when you planted corn. Don't blame someone else for the harvest you're getting. Don't blame. And listen, I know they're exposed to a lot of things when they're in a public school and in the world. I understand that there's a lot of things they can't say and stuff. But you know what? You can't keep blaming everybody else for what's happening in your family. You have to take responsibility. God made you the mother and the father. If you want a healthy marriage, then you can't blame the other people. They always say, grass is greener on the other side. And that's what gets them every time. Well, maybe if you watered your own grass, maybe if you took care of your own yard and cleaned up, maybe they would want to stay inside the yard. There's a lot of things that go on. It's time we start taking some responsibility for what's happening in our marriages and in our families. Let me turn it around, look at it from a different perspective. Maybe if at first you say, you know what, here's the harvest I want. So I want you to think long term right now. You're thinking, if this is the harvest that I want, and you understand what that is, then you got to understand that's what's going to determine the seed you need to plant. If I want a field of peanuts, I've got to plant peanuts. If I want a successful marriage, then I got to make sure I plant things into there that makes it successful. If I want healthy kids, I got to make sure that I plant things that make them healthy. So I want you to think. I want you to sit down. This is something you can do. This is practical. Sit down with your spouse. Sit down with your children. Or sit down with a future spouse and say, instead of looking at the short lens, which that's what we do, we're always for the moment people, a microwave society. I want you to think long term right now. And I want you to ask some of these questions. Think about this. What do we want other people to see when they observe our marriage? What do you want people to see in your marriage? When we have our 25th anniversary, what are some things that we want to be present and valued in our marriage that we can celebrate? What are some things that we want to see in our children spiritually as they grow up? What kind of person do we want them to be? These are long-term things. This isn't stuff that's going to happen overnight or next month or next year even, but little by little. How do we want our children to treat others? How do we want them to react around other kids who are different? What do we want our children's priorities to be? How do we want them to handle money? Hello? Some of you struggle in your money because nobody ever made that a principle and a priority in your life. You better start making it one in your kids' life or they're going to struggle with money too. What kind of givers do we want them to be? What core values do we want our children to develop and ultimately pass on to them? You've got to be thinking long term. You got to think, what's the harvest that I want? And when I think and I understand and I get in my mind the harvest that I want and what God calls us to have, then that's going to help me see now the seed that I need to be planting. Start at the end. Start with the result. Start with the harvest and determine and start to figure out now, how do we plant that? What do we need to be doing now and along the way, all along the way? Because how many knows working a garden is work? It takes maintenance. It's always, you're always out there doing something to it. What do we need to be doing now? All start early, start now. Listen, I'm telling you, Dana and I are not perfect parents. We've got three incredible kids, 12, 11, and 3. They are awesome. They are my world. They wear me out. They exhaust me. As much as I love them, there are times I love it when I'm not around them and I get to have a break. I love it when Dana and I can have a date night. But we love our kids. And there's several things that we decided early on that we wanted our kids to be. And some things that we've talked about. We want them to love church and love people. And we have to be careful because as preachers' kids, they can begin to resent church because they're up here all the time. They can resent church people because they see what happens and they see the strain. They see things that I wish they didn't see. They hear things that I wish they didn't hear. And so we have to make sure that we protect them as much as we can, that we show them that we love people, that we love God, we love church, and we don't want them to resent it like so many other pastors' kids that I know grow up resenting church. We said that we want them to be tender-hearted towards God and towards people. I've got some tender-hearted kids, man. Stephen, I mean, he can cry at the drop of a hat. He's good. But his heart, his little heart will break in a heartbeat. If he sees something that's not right, it eats him up. We want them to be accepting and loving towards people who are different than them, different race, different color or background, different social status, whatever. We want them to be accepting of all kids. We want them to be generous givers. And so we struggle hard with this, because how many knows that when you get to give a kid a dollar, that sucker is going to burn a hole in its pocket till he can go spend it. But we started here recently really trying to teach them how to put money back and say, you know what, out of every dollar you make, a percentage of it's got to go to God. And then a percentage of it needs to go to somebody else and put back into a savings, and then you can spend the rest. We're having to work on that constantly. We want them to value sacrifice. We want them to be servants. We want them to want to serve people. We want them to be affectionate and loving towards mom and dad. Hello, how many love it when your kids love on you? I want them to keep that. My mama loves it when I come home and I give her that big old hug. She's like, oh, I've been waiting for your hug, because I only see her a couple times a year, a few times. And she wants me to just hold her tight and hug her. She loves that. I love that. I want my kids to do that with me when I'm older. We want them to be outward focused. These are things we sat down and said, these are values. These are things that we want to instill in them, to follow God's lead. Wherever that may be willing to step out in faith. Don't be scared. Be courageous. The Bible told Joshua, be courageous, be strong, be courageous. We want that in their lives. And so we plant intentional seeds towards these goals. We're constantly planning. We're constantly planning. We're constantly developing plans and how to plant this into their life on a regular basis towards that specific harvest. We'll talk a little more about that next week. But see, we get wrapped up in the short term. We're looking at trying to survive the terrible twos. Oh, dear Lord, I can't wait till my baby at least starts sleeping all night. Come on, some of you started at just a few weeks putting whatever cereal in the bottle, anything you could to make that baby sleep all night. Your toothpicks were falling out of your eyes. You were exhausted. I mean, we're thinking short term. How do I get through this? I just want to get through this. Oh, if I could just get through the teens. Oh, my Lord. And see, I'm afraid that a lot of times we worry more about impressing other people with our family and our kids than planting the right things in our kids. See, it's never too early. Listen to me. It's never too early to start planting the right values in your children. It's never too early. I don't care if your kids are adults. It's never too early. Farming would be easy if all you had to do was go out there, plant some seeds, and you come back and you sit on the couch and you watch TV and you did whatever you wanted to do, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's harvest time, and you go out there and you reap harvest. Wouldn't that be nice? But it's not that way, is it? There's a lot of sweat and it goes into that garden. There's a lot of maintenance. You're pulling weeds. You're fighting bugs. You're tending diseases. You're making sure that everything's going right. You're watering it constantly. You're making sure that it's got the right fertilizer, the right chemicals. You make sure they get the right nutrients. Make sure that there's any predators out in the field. They're staying away. It's something. There's not a lot of vacation time from planting time and sowing time to reaping time. It's always something you're having to do, and that's the same thing in our families. And that's number six. What you neglect after planting will die. You can plant something. You can put it to them, and you can say, here's the deal. Here's what we want for you. Now go get them. But if that's it, if you neglect it and you don't ever come back to it, it will die. It will wither away. If it's not something that you're regularly bringing up and addressing, it's going to go away. It won't happen. It will die. And I'm telling you, Satan is out to kill whatever he can in your life and in your family. Satan fights against your family. Jesus told us that in John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. This week, I've talked with parents. Their marriage is falling apart. I've talked with people that have contemplated suicide. Two different marriages. Two different ends of the world. Ends of the spectrum. Two different people contemplating suicide because of what's happening in their marriage. Satan is out to steal, kill, and destroy. You can say now, oh, it would never get that bad. I would never let that happen. I would not. I'm just telling you something. If you neglect it, it will die. You will die. Satan will take you out, and he will do it with a smile on his face. Before you know it, he'll use whoever, whatever, and he'll do it whenever he can. This is constant maintenance that we have to do. I'm tired of seeing families torn apart. I'm tired of seeing them destroying their lives. So if you neglect it, it dies. You know what that means? It means you can't just plant one value one time. It's an ongoing thing. It's something you've got to talk about all the time. You've got to talk about it daily. You've got to talk about it nightly. You've got to, in every incident where you see that value can be placed or brought up, you bring it up and you show them and you live it out in front of them and you let them see that it's something important. It's a day-by-day, ongoing, intentional process. Is it tiring? Absolutely, it's tiring. Is it hard? Yes, it's hard. But will it be worth it? Absolutely, it'll be worth it. When you reap a harvest and you see those wonderful values and those benefits, all that hard work you've been in, all of a sudden you see that start to come to fruition in their life. And number seven leads us to this. If you're having problems planting, please ask for help. I get the 911 calls. I get the crisis calls. It's like this. I'm horrible at mechanicking. I don't mechanic. I'm tough on the vehicles I drive. I don't get out and check the fluids all the time. I check the gas because there's a needle right there. If I see it's on empty, I put gas in it. That's about as far as it goes with me in mechanicking. I can't put air in the tire if the little alarm starts going off. I can do that. If it comes to plugging the tire, I take it to the dude downtown. I'm not out there plugging the tire. I'm sure it's not hard. I've watched him do it. It's not me. But if I don't do maintenance on my car, it's going to blow up. I don't change the oil, I'm going to have issues. I've already got rid of one truck because of that. I know. All too well. Sold it for parts. Because it wasn't worth nothing. We wait until it's blowing up. We wait till our marriage is blowing black smoke. We wait till we hear the knocking and all the racket. And then we go, oh, something must be wrong. We know stuff's been going wrong. We know that we've needed to do maintenance, and we fail to do it. Why do we do that in our marriage? We don't do that to our car. Every 3,000 to 5,000 miles, we take our car to get an oil change. We rotate the tires. We do everything because we spent a lot of money on that fiddling car, didn't we? Do you not spend a lot of money in your marriage? Do you not spend a lot of time on your marriage? No. So many times our marriage is falling apart because we neglect maintenance, regular maintenance, and we get so stinking prideful because we don't want nobody to know that our marriage is in trouble. We want everybody to think it's all good, that everything's fine. We let pride get in the way. The farmer doesn't wait until his crops have just about burned up, been ate up, dried up, whatever, without calling for help. If a farmer who's making his living on a farm and livelihood on a farm realizes something's wrong, he calls in people. Living in the South, we would always get the Ag TV and stuff, and there's always show after show with these guys with PhDs, one that specializes in all the right chemicals to make it grow and do all the right things, and other guys who specialize in every kind of disease and bug and anything else that it can attack it. And when something's wrong with the farm or with the crop, what does that farmer do? As soon as he recognizes, he's on the phone going, hey, I need you down here to figure out what's going on. And they take their crops, and they analyze it, and they go through, and they say, well, here's what's going on. Here's what's wrong. Here's what we got to do to repair it before it gets too bad. Why don't we do that with our marriages? Why are we so scared to ask for help? I had someone in my office, and I said, I'm just telling you, brother, there's only so much I can do for you. You need professional help. Well, I can't do that. Why not? I ain't going to go to no counselor. Fine. Whatever. I mean, there's only so much I can do, but if you're not going to let people help you, why do we let pride do that? Pride comes before the fall. The three ways that Satan gets us is the lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, and the pride of life. He would take us out. You need to ask for help early. You need to ask for help often. I would much rather sit down with a family right now and say, you know, we've got some issues that are going on. We're not shooting each other. We're not beating each other or nothing, but we realize if we don't take care of this now, it could turn into something down the road. I would much rather sit down and let's start at that point than, brother, I've already moved out. We've already done this. Here's the thing. I'm already talking to my divorce lawyer. That's usually when I get the phone call. We're critical. Do maintenance. Do it regular. Ask for help. Ask early. There's so many things. This group that we're doing, the five love languages, it'll help maintenance on your marriage. Get some books. Read them for yourself. It'll help maintenance. There's DVDs out there. Get some of those DVDs. Go home. Watch them. Invest in your marriage. You do it for your car. Please do it for your marriage. Do it for your family. Don't wait. My daughter is 11, and I already need some help in the preteen years. I ain't even going to begin to act like I understand what the teenage years are like, especially for a girl. I recognize that. There's attitude that's already coming out. There's hormones that's starting to change, and the rest of this hair will be gone, I guarantee you, in a matter of just a few years. It's going to be gone. So I'm asking for help early. I'm starting to look up things now. I'm trying to prepare for the worst. I'm talking to some of you now. Me and Patty probably going to have a lot of conversation because she's got a daughter sitting right there that's been through the teenage years. I need help. Becky, we might be talking. Sister Betty, anybody's racing girls? Dawn? She said, don't call me. You're in it now, I know. Don't wait till something crashes. Ask for help before your family craters, before your wife says, I can't take it anymore. Ask for help. Number eight, let me move quickly. Number eight, if you're not happy with your current harvest, then you need to plant something different. You know what? That's so profound. But if you're not happy where things are going, you need to start planting something different. Come on, somebody. Think about what's going on. I'm not happy. And what we learn in the five love languages, if my spouse is not speaking love to me, then I need to be planting something different. In other words, I need to be planting the right kind of love in them. Too many people come into a marriage with different expectations, and they never communicate what those expectations are. The guy comes in with one set of expectations because, you know what? He saw his mama do this, this, and this for his daddy. That's what he's expecting out of you. Well, you know what? You didn't see what his mama did for his daddy. She's coming into the marriage because she saw her daddy do this, this, and this for her mama and take care of all this. You're coming into this with different expectations. If you never sit down and go, hey, you know what? Here's kind of what I'm expecting out of this. Here's what I come up around. What about you? Let's work some of this out now. What are you expecting from me? And let me explain what I'm expecting from you. And I'm telling you what, you'd be amazed at how many bumps in the road you're going to deal with right then from just having that conversation. Some of you are discouraged right now, but it's time to plant something different. Don't blame others. That's a trap. I already told you that. Don't blame a lack of parenting skills because you could ask for help and there's books you can get and there's people that would love to help you. There's people in your own family that want to help you. What you planted is what's grown. Now we got to start planting the right things. We got to figure out the harvest we won't get to plant because it's never too late. Somebody say, well, I've been trying this, Brad. I've been trying for 3 months planting good seeds in my marriage. Nothing's happening. What might take longer than 3 months? You probably didn't get in the situation you're in 3 months. It's probably going to take longer. We've been trying for weeks to plant these seeds in our kids' life, and it just ain't working. Well, it's probably going to take longer than weeks. It may take months. It may take years. But at least it's the number nine, and that's simply this. Harvest time is not immediate. We want it to be. It would be so nice if we could microwave our kids, but we can't. It doesn't work that way. The farmer don't plant corn on Monday and go out there Tuesday morning going, what? Where's my corn? He don't do that. He knows it's going to take time and work and effort. And the problem is too many people quit too soon. You've got a good harvest on the way, but you got tired and you quit. Well, how long should I wait? However long it takes. Well, that's not what I wanted to hear, Pastor. I'm sorry. At least the seed packet gives you a timeline. Harvest time is not immediate, but let me tell you this, harvest will come. Harvest will come. So number 10, don't give up. Keep planting. Well, Pastor Craig, I've tried. Man, I've planted good things with my kids. I'm doing my best to plant the right thing in my marriage and my family, but nothing seems to be working. I don't seem to be getting anywhere. Let's look at Galatians 6:9 one more time. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't quit. Don't give up. At the proper time, you will reap a harvest. Keep planting. Keep fighting. Keep working your garden. Keep working your farm. You have a promise. Don't give up. Would you stand with me, please? This morning, the altar call is simply this. I want you to come to this altar, and I want you to begin to ask the Holy Spirit for help in raising your family, to empower you, to bless your marriage, to pour into you, to pour in you personally, show you some weeds in your life that maybe you need to do some maintenance in your own life. You're struggling in your situation. You're struggling with communication. You're not feeling the love or whatever, and there's some things you need to deal with in your own life. You're struggling with where your kids are. There's some things that maybe you've been planting in them that you need to plant differently, and I just want you simply to come this morning and pray over your family. Pray over your life. Pray over what you are planting. Let God and the Holy Spirit begin to show you what you've been planting, and let Him show you what you need to be planting. How things may be going great right now. You know what? Then come give God thanks for that and ask him for strength, because you know what? There's going to be a storm. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but things may be great right now, but there's still a time of a storm that you're going to go through in your life. Would you come now quickly? Pray over your kids. You may have adult kids, but they need to be serving the Lord. You don't know what to do anymore. Come let the Holy Spirit enrich you, encourage you, and empower you, because it's never too late. It's never too late to start planting the right things. Father, I'm praying over these families right now. God, we all want what's best for our family. God, we all want what's best for our kids. We're asking for wisdom right now. We're asking for knowledge. We're asking you to speak into our life. Speak into these families right now. There's parents of young kids, God. Give them the wisdom. Let them, God, to begin to think about the core values that they want planted in their kids. God, I pray that they'll take the time to sit down and begin to talk about values in their kids' lives, things that they want to see taking place in their life, in their marriages. There's marriages here that on the surface may look like everything is going good, but deep down inside they're struggling, they're hurting. God, we want you to deal with them right now. Maybe they need to be planting some different things. But above all, God, give them steadfastness in their life. God, I want them to not give up. Give them hope. Give them courage, Father. I pray over their children. If they've got adult kids, Father, I pray over their adult kids right now. Their adult kids maybe aren't serving you, or maybe they're struggling in some other situations. God, give these parents in here wisdom still to speak into their lives. Let them see, God, that there still is hope in their life. There's still hope. Your Holy Spirit can move. We're asking you to move. We're coming into agreement right now over families. God, we're tired of seeing families struggle. We're tired of seeing them destroyed. We're tired of seeing them torn apart. In the name of Jesus, let your Holy Spirit rise up. Give them the strength to plant. Give them the strength to continue working. Give them the strength and the wisdom, God, to go out and to deal with the issues. Take away the prideful issues, God. Let them receive help. God, let them be willing to ask for help. Let them be willing to do the maintenance that they need on their marriage, albeit through a group or counseling or through some books or videos. But God, let them just get hungry for doing whatever it'll take to make their family better, to plant the right things now so that in due time they will reap the harvest that they're looking for and they're believing for. God, if there's some things we've planted accidentally, Father, I pray that we're able to deal with that. Give us the wisdom to deal with those issues. We repent for those things right now. I repent for anger and short tempers that are in my own family, God, because of my own issues. God, help me to deal with that. Help me to deal with the issues that I face. I don't want to plant them into my kids. I don't want there to be any generational curses, God, that it seems like that I'm passing on to my kids. I want to be the one that breaks that so that my kids have the best provided for them. They have the best environment to grow up in so that they can seek you and that they will be used by you. They'll want to serve you, God. They'll want to love other people. They love the church. They'll love people. They'll love to serve. Holy Spirit, just right now, stir it up within us, oh God. Stir these values within us. A passion, God, to do what you've called us to do and to be the parents you've called us to be. Stir it up within us, God. Stir it, Lord. Stir it. Deep down inside, stir it, God. We don't have all the answers right now, but you do, Father. We are relying on you wholeheartedly. We're relying on you, Father. Use us. Speak in and speak through us. We're relying on you, God. We need you, Lord. Father, be with these families. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Feel free to stay and pray as long as you want. But if you need to go, God bless you. We'll have praise team at 5, and we'll have church again at 6 tonight.